Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Our scripture reading, Tim, is going to be Hebrews 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you see, that's what's going on. We're growing and maturing in our faith, right? And our senses, that encompasses your emotions, your feelings. You see that? And when you have those intact, you're not going to be stressed out. You're not going to be fatigued, wore out all the time, just struggling all the time. When you understand this, it frees you to be who God created you to be in the middle of whatever's going on around you. Now think about this. In the chapter 8, he talks about the new covenant. So God is trying to get us out of the old covenant into the new covenant. And he says it's a better covenant. So that's what God is trying to do in our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit in Hebrews is talking about. Trying to get us in the new covenant. That's why when we take communion, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is a new covenant. God wants you to understand. He wants you to detach yourself from the old covenant and start participating in the new covenant. You see that? The old covenant was Moses and the law. The new covenant is Jesus. So that's what we're talking about a little bit today. Because we've been talking about trust and inspire versus command and control. Command and control. We can't control things, can we? But we try to. And that always makes us miserable and frustrated and upset and doesn't help anybody when we try to control everything. But when we trust God, now things start to happen. Because you're freeing Him up to work through your life. And He works through you now, see? When He's working through you and you trust in Him, it makes life sweeter. Your soul is at rest, and you are becoming who God created you to be.
Amen.
You're free. It's nice to be free. How many of you want to be free?
Yes.
I don't want to feel like I'm being controlled and in bondage and all the time. I want to be free to be who God created me to be. And that's what God wants for you. And God can do that. And that's what He's doing in the church. So are you hearing me, what I'm talking about in Hebrews? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. So again, this is what he's talking about. Look what he says. He says, beware. So beware, he's alerting you. When the Holy Spirit says beware, we need to beware. Beware, brethren. Brethren, you know who that is? That's the church. That means from the same womb. We're all from the same womb. The womb of the Word of God. We were born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God. See that? That's it. We're the brethren. Beware, brethren. Watch. Lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. See that? Now think about this. You and I, remember I told you we've been called out of the world's belief system. Who's the ruler of this world? He's the ruler of this world. Remember John 14, verse 30? The ruler. He's the ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who have not had the light of the gospel unveiled. Who's the God of this age? Satan, right? And he controls. And when you're trying to control people, guess who you're working with? Bubble breath. So you don't have to control people. You don't have to control. You understand? If God puts things together his way, and when we do it his way, it works.
Right.
You hear me? This is huge. This is what he's talking about. An evil heart of unbelief. See, God wants you and I, we're called believers. We don't want to have unbelief in our heart, but we can. And the unbelief, you know where it resides? In the belief systems that are already in us. And they actually are like strongholds from your childhood, your experiences, your observations, your traumas. You have a belief system in you that will keep the truth from getting in. We're going to talk about that. So now think about this. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Think about this. He tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, he says the heart is what encompasses your soul, your mind, your will, all that, your emotions, everything. He says the heart is deceitful above all things. How many things? All things. A heart that's left unattended will deceive you. It will take you to the wrong place and hook up with the wrong people. Are you listening? And to do the wrong things. That's why we need help. Amen?
Amen.
The heart is deceitful. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind to give everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. How many of you know you're going to be tested? Has anybody been tested this week? Yeah, we're going to be tested. What is the test for? It talks about in James 1, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Hallelujah.
Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to lack in any area of your life.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants you to be complete, whole. Whole, healed and whole. That's what complete means, whole. He doesn't want you lacking anything. But he says, count it all joy. Remember what the word count? It means value. So we should value when we're going through a difficult time, a testing period. We should place a high value on it because it's helping me get to a higher place in my faith so I can tap into all he has for me and all he's calling me to. You see, but if I fail the test, I have to take the test over. You see that? You have to retake the exam. Making sense?
Yep.
So what's a test for? A test, listen to me, a test is a thing to determine the quality of it. God is testing the quality of our faith to see if he can trust you in this area of your life. Now look, he's testing you in the faith to see if you are willing to detach from something he's trying to move you away from. It takes faith to detach from old ways of thinking, old patterns of thinking, old mindsets, old hurts, old pain. It takes faith to detach from things.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Your faith. Faith is, everything we do is in the faith. Faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. What faith? Now faith. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right now. We need now faith. Right? Amen. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
It talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, now is the day of salvation. When? Now. When your faith is now, salvation is going to take place.
Yeah, right.
Now he's trying to help you in your salvation. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now is the day of salvation. Now look, this word, John Maxwell defined it, is the law of detachment. Your ability to detach from something old affects your ability to experience something new. Did you hear that? And you see, if you hold on to an old hurt, an old mindset, remember, what's discernment mean? Remember? To discern means to understand past mindsets, past pain, your discernment. Remember, we got to be discerning in the times we're in. Our discernment is going to increase. Remember, Paul prayed that our love would abound more and more in all knowledge and all discernment. As our relationship with God, he prayed that in Philippians 1:9. As our relationship with God is growing, our discernment is going to grow. We need discernment in the hour we're living in. What's around us? Who's around us? What's going on? We need to be a discerning. So discerning has to do with past patterns of thinking, past patterns of your actions. Am I making sense? All right. So now look, this old and new covenant, the old covenant was brought in by Moses. It's the law, the Ten Commandments. We still need the law, but that's not what we live out of. The law shows you your sin. It's the schoolmaster. You see that? And it shows you your sin, and you can repent of it and get back to where you belong. But you see this? We're to live under the new covenant.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we do away with the old covenant completely, but he wants you under the new covenant. Am I making sense? Because that's the two commandments on the new covenant would be to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see that? When you love God, vertical, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, now you'll start to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Amen.
And that's righteousness.
Amen.
You see, God's wrath is against ungodliness and unrighteousness towards men. You see, when we're godly, we keep God first and we keep people first. You see that? His wrath and his anger is against ungodliness and unrighteousness towards men. So when we have those two commandments in place, we're in right standing with God and we're in right standing with men. That's what righteousness means. We're in right standing with men and we're in right standing with God.
Amen.
Are you catching that?
Yes.
And that's only revealed through the gospel.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to them who believe. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed, only in the gospel. One gospel.
That's right.
One gospel.
Yes.
You see this? When this thing's working, you're in right standing with your boss, with your wife, with your kids, with people.
Come on.
Are we making sense?
Yeah.
Now, think about this. But here's what happens. We have these allegiances to patterns that aren't from God. And they will hold you back from going forward and experiencing the benefits of the new covenant. Now, our allegiance is to what was rather than to what is. See, we don't want to be that way. We don't want our allegiance to what was.
Right.
We want it to be what it is, right?
Right.
But sometimes we can do that. How's that work? Now think about this. God said to Samuel, He said, how long will you mourn over something I'm done with? How long are you going to mourn? You know, mourn means he's grieved. He's done with it. So we need to be done with it. See, when you mourn and you're all discouraged and down about, and God's trying to take you to a new place. He said, get your oil and go to Jesse's house. Oil is the anointing. We all are anointed. But sometimes there's people in our lives that we're trying to resuscitate that we need to just let go.
Thank you, Lord.
Am I making sense? I said we can be in right standing with them even if we let them go. Come on, am I making sense? So what happens is, if you don't let go and you stay in this grieving or this place that God said he's done with, then your oil will start to be contaminated. And you can get, your oil can be contaminated because you're trying to resuscitate something God has already done with. And your oil will become contaminated. I know there's people. I help people all the time. I've been helping people. I love helping people. I get energy from it.
Hallelujah.
Here's what gets me sometimes. Sometimes you help people, and all they do is they keep coming back, and then they don't ever want to change. They keep repeating the same thing. They have an allegiance to something over and over, and the new, they don't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
And they just keep calling you. That'll wear you out. Your anointing starts to dissipate. Am I making sense?
Yes.
This is huge. Now, in a marriage, you got to work this thing out. If they don't want to resuscitate, you got to keep working on this. The marriage relationship. Am I making sense?
Yes.
But don't wait for them to be compatible, because nobody's compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's compatible. Well, I'm just not compatible. We have irreconcilable differences. Back in the 70s, they passed a law, no-fault divorce,
right,
when Reagan was the president.
Yep.
They saw America, prisons start to fill up more and more. America went down because the marriage was being attacked. See, you used to have a good excuse to get divorced. You used to have proof of something they did wrong or something they were way out of in order to get divorced. You had to have proof, legally. Now you just say, I'm done.
Right.
I'm going to get me another one. Okay, you'll go with yourself and watch how miserable you are.
Yeah.
And you're going to make your children miserable. You're going to make the rest of your life miserable. Marriage is forever.
That's right.
It's under the covenant. Am I making sense?
That's right.
You don't just decide, well, I'm going to get another one. Uh-uh. When you're in, you're in. And sometimes you're in. What God allowed you to be in with is for a purpose. There's something in you he's trying to develop in you through that.
Hallelujah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I said, am I making sense? I know you're getting mad at me, some of you, but I'm trying to help you see something.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that's what happens in a church like this. We expose some stuff.
Come on.
And exposure is good.
That's right.
Exposure is good. See, people will run out of here sometimes when you start preaching like this. I've seen them get up and leave because something's been exposed. You see? And you know what? You get up and leave, it'll never be healed. And you'll keep running the rest of your life. And you'll stay that miserable. Sometimes you've got to hang in there. And it's going to get tough. It's going to be difficult. But that's why you need to stay in the church.
Amen. That's right.
And this is where this development comes from. The Bible says there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I need counsel from you, and you need counsel from me.
Right.
And it says there's safety in the multitude. Security. Safety. Protected. You are protected from destroying yourself, from running from what God was trying to help you with, because you're willing to take some counsel in the multitude. Am I making sense? That's good stuff right there. I'm telling you. And this is what we have to understand. Nobody's compatible. Get rid of that idea. And get rid of that idea. Well, we can't reconcile. Well, you can. You got to give up your ego and start serving. Here's another thing, Finley. Finley asked me. Now we went down to the game. He asked me about rejection. And now we're on our way back. It's 11:30 at night. He says, Papa, he says, my friend quit his job because the boss didn't respect him. I said, oh, okay. He goes, that's just what I would have done. He goes, if he doesn't respect me, I'm not going to respect him. I said, it don't work that way, Finley. I said, aren't you supposed to be a believer? Well, yeah, Papa, you know that. Well, respect, it says in 1 Peter 2:17, we're to honor all people. How many?
All
people. Honor means respect. Now catch this. I'm a word man, remember? Re, the prefix re, back to. Spect, your vision, spectacle. That's what respect is all about. Back to the vision. Respect is a biblical word. Keep your eyes, Hebrews 12:1-2, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You see, when your eyes are on Jesus and your boss is being disrespectful, you're giving them grace and mercy. Because
right.
You're giving them God's way.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, we have a default system, all of us. Psychologists call it, a negative bias. Humanity, we all have a default system in us. And we tend to go to the negative. But you see, Jesus is looking for people who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We're not to answer to that negative default system. We're to answer to Christ.
Amen.
You see that?
Yep.
And when I'm being mistreated, I'm going to treat them the way Christ would.
Yeah.
You see that? And you know what that does? That keeps you free. That keeps you free, and you keep walking in freedom. But you can't do that on your own. You have to have that dependency on God. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
Did you catch that? Now, Finley, he just didn't want to hear no more after that. He got quiet again. But he'll ask me again about it later, you know, and I'll expound on it. I didn't want to really just, I don't want to beat him over the head with it. I like when he asks me questions like that. But did you catch that? We're to honor and respect all people. The axe murderer? Yes, sir. That's because that's God's creation. Are you listening to me? All people. That's significant. That's freedom. When you understand it. When you understand that, that's freedom. Doesn't mean you have to invite them over for dinner and no, but you honor and you respect them. So, when God's done with something, you need to be done with it. Because you keep trying to resuscitate something and people, they give up. That doesn't mean you are negative towards them. You don't have to pour all your energy in trying to resuscitate them. They may get it one day, but that might be 10 years later. Right? Are we making sense today? Now watch. Strongholds. Remember we talked about strongholds last week. And it talks about in 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
God wants you to bring those thoughts into captivity to obey Christ. That's what I just got done telling you, that we're supposed to, our default system should go to Christ.
Right.
The word Christ means anointed. You see, you stay in your anointing, and you need the anointing to give you energy and life and health and wholeness in your life. You need that anointing. You see that? Are you listening to me? And when you resort to that, it keeps you healthy. But there's going to be tension. Listen to me. Here's where the tension is. The strongholds, remember, the strongholds are fortresses to keep things out. So in other words, God is trying to penetrate areas of your life with his word to bring it in. And if you have a stronghold of thought patterns or maybe observances or maybe trauma, something happened to you, or maybe the way your dad used to teach you, and but it doesn't line up with God's word, a value system. You have a system, a belief system. See, that's what this is all coming against. Belief systems that aren't belief systems from God. And we all have them. And God's trying to get his word in there to get you into the faith and get something better to you. You see that? And see, here's how it works. He wants to take you from where you are to where he says it could be and what it can be, to the promise. From where you are to where his promise is, a better place, a healthier place. The real you. You paying attention? But if you are stuck with that pattern and you're not paying attention, you're not self-locating, you will miss it. And that pattern that can be in you for the rest of your life, and you'll miss out on what God has been trying to get to, through to you. Am I making sense? You paying attention to me? Now watch this. Here's the tension. We try to live good lives while managing bad thoughts. Bad thoughts are going to come. Well, not me. Well, the devil is a liar, and so are you. We all have bad thoughts. Are you listening to me? We're all going to, we have this inferior systems in us that the Holy Spirit is working. Watch this. See, this, when you come to a place like this, exposure. The light. Remember, we've been talking about the light. And the word of God is the light. And it's a more sure prophetic word. It's more sure than anything. And it goes out. And the word of God is light. And it exposes things. Now see, now listen. In John chapter 3, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him," whoever believes, your belief system needs to come from him. "Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness, ignorance, rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light unless his deeds have been exposed." You come here. This word, the light is going out. It exposes those areas in your life. Some of you want to run out of here already. But the exposing an area of your life, really, if you'll pay attention and get this area of your life in alignment with his will, you're going to be happy, fulfilled in life. This is where life, the Zoe life, really is.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Have a blessed week.